back. I'll tell you, I've never been so appreciative of the online ministry that we have here. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 14. And there's some the last time I preached before I left, I think the last time was the young men's meeting that we had, which also we have it in this Saturday. So young men, be there. It seems like I get the opportunity to preach right before we have the young men's meeting every time, so I get to talk you into coming. Or guilt you into it. You need to be there if you're a young man. I 100% don't have this on. There we go. Mark chapter 14. But anyways, at the young men's meeting last time that I got to preach at, it was a huge blessing just to be able to preach, for one, but I got to preach on basically the whole message of just getting to brag on Jesus Christ, which is always it's just an easy message. I mean, you just get to brag on Jesus Christ, and it's fun to preach that way because everybody's on your side, for one.
Yeah.
But there are some messages where you get a message, and I was conflicted on what to preach after Brother Steve preached Sunday night. The Lord kind of confirmed it for me, what he was wanting me to preach. But there's some times that you ask God 100 times to make sure this is right, because you don't really want to preach it that much. But it's still right, but it's just sometimes it was just hard to preach. And I thought, well, this is the first time I get to preach since I've been back, so, might as well ruin it. And there it goes. But I do appreciate this church. I appreciate you guys. I really do. I'm just going to keep on going so I don't get emotional. Mark chapter 14. And let's read. Let's see here. Let's read. Let's just read the first 8 verses together. The Bible says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, verse 9, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. And tonight I want to preach on the thought in verse 8, the first little saying there. It says that she hath done what she could. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to preach. It is always a blessing, Lord, especially here to be able to preach, God. I pray that you would fill me with your spirit, God, and that I wouldn't say anything that you wouldn't have me say, Lord. And everything that I would that you would have me say, I would say it, Lord, and say it in a way, Lord, that can be understood, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would get all the glory and the honor and the praise that you deserve. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, now this is, that's the only time we're going to be in Mark, so you can go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 24. But I just wanted to use that just to preface my message, because that's what I'm that's the thought I'm going to be preaching on. She hath done what she could. And I've preached in this pulpit a few different times, and it seems like every time I preach in this pulpit, I, you know, just hammer the men, because I are one, and I need it. I preach hard, just as hard to me, just as, you know, as preached to anybody else. But this is going to be a message more for the women tonight. All right, I'm going to change messages. But I would like to just preface it. I'm not saying this just because, you know, I'm about to preach to women. I'm not going to just brag on them just so I can preach to them. But I do want to say, because it's true, I do appreciate the women in this church. I married one out of this church. My mother is obviously from this church. You guys know Miss Beth. And there's many other women in here. I'm not going to sit here and name all of them because I know I'll miss someone. But there's so many good women in here. And honestly, without the women of our church, it wouldn't run. It wouldn't run without a lot of things, but especially the women of our church. And I appreciate the women of our church. I remember growing up going to Jobin's house with Miss Angie, or you know, Miss Story, Jonathan's house, or whoever's house it was at. Miss Shalom back there at Mason's house, and all these. I got to grow up with the cream of the crop. I mean, it's just the best women in the world. I truly believe that. And this message right here, that's where it comes from, because I'm going to be preaching on a way that a woman should be, and I mean, obviously, I'm getting my stuff from the Bible, but I mean, I'm thinking of women in my head constantly as I'm preaching this message, and it's just a blessing just to think about that. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I do thank you for it. I thank you for your courage, for your consistency to this church. The amount of time that you've put in to everything. Now I want to have the thought on, obviously, she hath done what she could, and the reason it's that thought is because a lot of times I feel like the women in the church are almost feel like, you know, you don't do as much as maybe a man or maybe not. I mean, I'm not saying it's like a battle, right? But what this lady right here done in Mark chapter 14 was, she just done what she could. That's all she done. You know, she didn't do what she couldn't do. She had an alabaster box of ointment. That's all she had. And she gave it to the Lord, and she anointed his feet. And that's all she did. She didn't have a whole lot, but what she did have, she gave it to God. And I could preach a whole message just on, you know, her. She's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I'm not, though. Another thing to point out is I have preached this message one other time in Wall Builders, but I lost my notes on it, so I had to completely redo it. So if you go to Wall Builders and you heard this message before, it's going to be a little different, so you're still going to get something. But right here in Genesis chapter 42, look down, or not 42, 24, I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 24, I'm in 42, dyslexic. Genesis chapter 24. Look down there in verse, in the very end of the chapter, in verse 67. I just want to read this one verse. It says, "And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." And what you have here is you have Isaac's mother dying, obviously, and then Isaac is getting married to Rebekah. And as he gets married, it says that she comforted him. And the first thing that a godly woman does is she's a comforter. A godly woman is a comforter. And if you think about it tonight, you can ask yourself the same question. Are you a comforter? You know, what a comforter does is a comforter cares for someone. A comforter at a hospital, a nurse cares for someone. They nurse somebody. You know, you just think about it within yourself. Are you a comforter? If you're a woman in here, there's no comfort like the comfort of a mother or the comfort of a wife. There's no other comfort in the world like that. Not even your father could give you the comfort that your mother could give you. It's just, there's just nothing like it. Like a woman's touch is what they say. There's nothing like to have a woman's touch, a woman's care. And think about it tonight, ladies. Does your kids know that you care for them? And that's, I guess, a little bit of a hard question to answer for yourself. But you ought to ask the question sometime. Do your kids know that you care for them? Does your husband know that you care for them? Right? And caring is comforting, but caring is giving someone attention. It's giving someone attention. Who's winning the attention battle in your home right now? Is it your family or is it your cell phone? Who is it? You know, we live in a generation where, and I know it seems like I preach on this all the time. I preach myself on it too. But I had to delete all my social media. This is just a testimony because I spent way too much time on it. And I felt like I wouldn't give enough time to my family, enough time to the Word of God. But I had to get rid of some things in my life because I just got convicted about it. But just think about that question tonight. Do your kids know that you care for them? If you had to ask your kids tonight, could they say, yeah, I know my mother cares for me? Well, I mean, she tells me that she loves me every night. Is that enough? Right? We know that the word love, it's a verb. It's how you act towards someone. And care is the same way. And kids know if you care or not. They do. Your husband knows if you care or not. And the question is, do you care? Turn over to Joshua chapter 2. A godly woman will care. A godly woman will care. She'll care for souls. She'll care for her family. Not only does a godly woman care, but I want to show you something right here. Look in Joshua chapter 2. And it says in verse 1, and Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came two men unto me, but I was not whence they were. Verse 5, and it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them in the stalks and flax, which she had laid in order upon the roofs. And the men pursued after them the way of Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land that your and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And then it goes on, and she's just talking about, you know, what the Lord did. But the point I'm making tonight is this lady right here, Rahab, who was a harlot, she just done what she could. She was a harlot. I mean, she was a wicked woman. She was selling herself out, and she seen an opportunity right here, though, to change her life. And she not only changed her life, but literally the history of the world. And you read in Matthew chapter 1. I mean, that lineage right there. And Rahab is not only is she a woman that's pretty wicked, but she changes her life right here, and she becomes a courageous woman. Why is she a courageous woman? Well, if the men of this city would have found out, I'm sure they would have killed her. They would have killed her for what she done. She hid these men, and they came in to spy out the land. And you know what she was? She was courageous. And the second point I want to make is this woman's not only a comforter, a godly woman's not only a comforter, a comforter of her kids, a comforter of her family, but she's also a courageous woman. And what Rahab done right here was she done something that was out of the ordinary. That's what made her courageous. She done something that was out of the ordinary. And it ain't just men that can do something that's out of the ordinary or get called by God to do anything. I'm not saying that you're going to get up here and preach or anything like that. But you read stories about these women that Elizabeth Elliot, Catherine Booth. I mean, just great women. And women in the Bible, I could talk about Esther or Ruth or anybody. But there's so many women that done courageous things for God. And women today can do courageous things for God too. You don't have to just, you know, say, well, I can't be called to preach. Well, I guess I can't do anything. I'll tell you what, you could teach a class to these young people down here. What a blessing. Half the women ain't even here tonight because they're down there teaching young kids. And it's you can be over the nursery. That's definitely courageous. Thank God that I don't have to be down there. I'll go down there to get Jack sometimes, man. He's a little devil. And just running around, taking kids' toys. And I'm sure he's just a mess to handle. And I appreciate that. I appreciate women going down there. And they sacrifice not being up here for church. I know they got it on the TV and stuff down there, but you can't pay attention while there's kids running around and hollering in your ear and spitting on you and all this different stuff. Pretty courageous thing to me. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I appreciate the women in the church that do that. But a godly woman is not only a comforter, but she's a courageous woman. It takes some courage to do some things for the Lord. It does. It absolutely takes some courage. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And these are some women in the Bible that you wouldn't really go to for maybe a whole lot of messages. But it's women that I was thinking about when I was writing this message, women that just stood out to me. Here in 2 Timothy, we find two ladies right here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we find two ladies right here that's not mentioned very, at all really in the Bible, but they're stuck right here, right in 2 Timothy. And I just want to read you a couple passages or a couple verses right here. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And not only is a woman of God here, is she a comforter? Is she courageous? But I want to make a point right here. The women of God is critical, and that's kind of what I was talking about at the first of the message in my introduction, was how critical the women of God are. And you just see it right here with Timothy, as he's a young preacher just getting into the ministry. And Paul's, I believe he's the pastor of Ephesus. Is that correct? Some Bible teachers can correct me on that if I'm wrong. That's right? Okay. Yeah, okay. But he's a young preacher right here, and Paul's trying to exhort him, trying to encourage him. And he's writing to him, and he says, right there in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He's remembering some things about Timothy, whether it was a prayer meeting or whatever it was. He's remembering some things. He says, when I think about those things, I'm filled with joy. And then he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And what he's saying right here is You have some unfeigned faith. It's not just fake. It's real. It's something that's got some substance to it. It's not just fake. It's some real faith. It's the kind of faith that you had when you got saved, when you asked Jesus Christ to come to your heart and to save you. And you believed in the gospel. It's that kind of faith right there. And he says, you have that. And the reason why I know that you have that is because I've seen it in your mother and your grandmother Lois. That's how he knew that he had that kind of faith. And what I want to talk about right here is how critical that, even though that these two ladies only show up right here in the Bible, how critical that they are to their son's life and their grandson's life. They're critical to it. You know what Timothy seen when he was growing up in his mother? He seen unfeigned faith. He seen some real faith. He seen some faith where she believed what God said out of the Word. She believed him. And he also seen that in his grandmother. There's mothers out here and grandmothers out here. And your kids and your grandkids are watching you. And you spend more time with your kids as a mother than probably anybody else. Anybody else. And your kids watch you. They do. And Timothy had some unfeigned faith is what Paul says. And he likes that faith so much that he says, I even know where it came from. It came from your mother and your grandmother. I know them, and I know that you have to have that kind of faith because I've seen it in your mother and your grandmother. I know how they raised you. I know how they raised you. I know that you have that faith too. And that's critical to the ministry. That's critical. His mother and his grandmother, you know what he did? Or what they did? They set an example for Timothy. For young Timothy, just as a child, before he was called to preach, before he got in the ministry or anything, he looked up at his grandma and his grandmother, or his grandmother and his mother, and he seen that unfeigned faith that they had. Unfeigned faith. Taking God at face value is what that is. Turn over a couple chapters, over to chapter 3. Had some unfeigned faith. Not only was these two ladies critical to what Timothy done, I mean, Timothy got two books in the Bible named after him. And she was, and they was critical for that. But not only was they critical for that, look over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look down there in verse 14. Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says right here, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Able to make thee wise unto salvation. And then it's obviously the verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's one of the verses that we always go to for the inspiration of the scriptures. But look right there in verse 15, it says, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Not only was they critical to Timothy's upbringing, but also they was capable. You know, Timothy's mother, she was capable. She knew the Holy Scriptures. You can't not know something and then teach somebody that. They knew it. They knew the Holy Scriptures. And Timothy right here, as a young man, you know what he knew? He knew the Scriptures. Why? Because his mother and his grandmother taught him those Scriptures. If you're sitting here tonight, a great thing to do, a biblical thing to do, if you have young kids, is teach your kids Scripture. Teach them the Scriptures, just like Lois and Eunice did right here. They taught him the Scriptures, and that was the only reason they could do that is because they were capable, because they knew the Scriptures, and you got to know the Scriptures to be able to do that. I remember growing up, and I hate getting up here and bragging on my own family, but my mom deserves it, so. she's a godly woman. But I remember growing up that my mom, every single morning, she would make us learn the book of Psalms, like the chapters. We'd go Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not, and then Psalm 23, Psalm 91, all these different Psalms. We would learn as children, and it wasn't because I was, wanting to sit down there and I just wanted to get up 30 minutes early before school and learn Scripture. Just chomping at the bits every morning to get in the book of Psalms. No, I didn't want to do that. My mom woke me up 30 minutes early every single morning for 8 years straight. and my brother and all my sisters, they could probably get up here and quote the same exact chapters. But the point is she's seen that it was critical that I learned the Scriptures. She knew that. She knew that it was critical that I learned the Scriptures. And she got up and she sacrificed her time and she sacrificed her sleep every single morning. I know Joanna's told me stories about Miss Angie having writing down note cards, scriptures on note cards, and making her kids learn scriptures through note cards. And I'm sure there's other women out here that's done the same thing. But I can just remember as a personal experience in my own life, we would get up every single morning and she would sit us down on the couch and she would open the book of Proverbs and we'd read the book of Proverbs. This was after my dad had already gone to work. He couldn't do it then. You know, I mean, she was there with us. She was there more than my dad was there. He was at work. She was more there than anyone was there. And you know what she did? She put the scripture in us every single morning. And I'm not sitting here saying like I'm like Timothy or I'm anyone. I know what I am. I feel awkward every single time I get in the pulpit. I feel awkward for even preaching because I know what I am. I know what's in my heart. There dwelleth no good thing. But the point I'm saying is if there is any good thing in me at all or any success that I've had at all to the ministry or anything or preaching or knowing scripture, it's because of that woman right there, or wherever she's at right now, down there teaching class, other kids, scripture. But it's because of her, because she got up every morning, she decided to sacrifice herself and her time to teach me. And I'm not just trying to sit up here and just brag on my own family, but I'm just trying to encourage you, especially if you're a grandmother, you're a mother out here, and you want your kids to live right and live clean. I'm telling you, the best thing that you can do for them is put the scripture in. I can remember times that I was in high school, and I would go out and I would, you know, be hanging out with the wrong crowd or fools, and I would, you know, the scripture would pop in my head, you know. I'm thinking of the fool I said in his heart, there's no God right now, but I still believed in God. A companion of fools will be destroyed. That's the one I was thinking of. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Different scriptures that I learned from my mom. When I got in situations, the first thing that God convicted me with in my head was scriptures that lady taught me. And if you want your kids to live clean and have a better, I know they got a free will, I know they're going to do their own thing, and there may be kids that go off and do different things, but if you want them to have the best chance possible, you put that scripture in them. You put it in them every single day. You put it in them. And if you're a grandmother, obviously you can have an impact too. Just like Lois did right here. She still had an impact. She was a grandmother. She still had an impact on her children. A lot of times these days, you have the grandparents. There may be some in here. I don't know. You have the grandparents that's is the one that's raising the kid. And if you want them to live right, if you want them to have the best chance possible of living clean and serving God, you put the scripture on them. I'm not saying that from the position of saying that I've raised kids. I haven't. My son's 2 years old in October. I'm saying that from the position of, I remember when I was a kid that my mother raising me, she put that scripture in me. And I'm telling you, and it's not a testament to me at all. I learned more scripture from ages 0 to 12th grade than I have probably from 12th grade to now. Because I lived under my mom and she made me learn that stuff. But what I'm saying is when there was situations that I got into, those scriptures came to mind. There are scriptures that come to mind still yet when I'm preaching. That I learned from when my mom taught them to me. And it's just a testament to her and how she wanted to raise us. And the same thing right here with Lois and Eunice. They're teaching young Timothy right here. They're getting him in the Word. They're obviously have this faith, this unfeigned faith that's around him that wore off to him. And now he's got that unfeigned faith. Why? Because his mother was faithful. She was faithful. And you can be a faithful woman too. You can be a capable woman. But you have to get in the Scripture. You have to learn Scripture. You have to be ready always to give an answer. You can be a critical woman. You can be a courageous woman. There's a lot of courageous women. There's courageous women in here. There is. Absolutely there is. There's women in here that's got the backbone of an oak tree, man. There's women in here that's been through more than I could even imagine going through. And you know what? They're still in church. They're still down there teaching class. There's women that's lost kids, that's lost spouses, that's had children gone waver and gone to the world. And you know what? They're still in here. You know why? Because they're just doing what they can. You know what they know what to do? They know they're supposed to be in church. And at the same time, listen, man, at the same time, I know I was told you I was going to be preaching to women, but I can't help myself. At the same time, when there's these godly women with a backbone of an oak tree, there's also men that has a ramen noodle for a backbone, that every time they have a bad day at work, they decide not to come to church. Are you doing what you can? You know, sometimes the only thing that you can do is come to church. Sometimes a woman's husband won't even come to church with her, but you know what? She'll come to church. You know how hard that must be? Still dragging her kids to church, getting them ready in the mornings. That's got to be hard. But they just got something to them, man. They got something to them, and that's something to consider. Especially as a man, you know, a big, strong man, and you're weak as water on the inside. You can't even come to church. You can't show up for church. And I feel good about preaching this message on a Wednesday because you guys are here. Right? You guys have showed up on a Wednesday night. But I don't want you to take this message of me trying to, you know, think about people beforehand and say, oh, they deserve this, or they need to hear this. I hope they hear this part. I'm not doing that. I'm just preaching what the Lord gave me. And, you know, you ask, what authority do you have to preach it? I don't know. Lord called me to preach. Take it up with Him, man. But there's some good women in here. And young ladies in here, you got some good women to look up to. Older ladies in here, if you stop doing something for God, maybe it's time to start doing. You used to do something, now you don't. Maybe it's time to start again. You know, be involved. You know, you can be courageous, just like Rahab in the book of Joshua. You can do something. You can start a ministry. I heard about women out here starting ministries just a couple weeks ago. It's a blessing to see that. You don't have to, you know, there's this thing going around today about, you know, women empowerment. I don't need no man. This is legit. You don't need a man to start a ministry. God can use you just the way you are. There you go. Put that one on Facebook, man. Tell them I'm going woke. That's a joke. Don't say that. Yeah. But you know what? If you don't know what else to do, just do what you can. Be like Mary. You don't know what else to do. You can't do anything. You know what you can do? You can pray. I've heard about women just praying for their husband because they're a preacher. Sitting down there and just weeping and praying and praying. You know what your children see when they see you praying? They see that unfeigned faith that Timothy seen in his mother and his grandmother. You know how many times I've walked in on my mother and her sitting on her knees weeping before God praying? You know what that done to me? That made all the difference in the world. The reason I'm even still living just half right the way I am, I know I'm still messed up and I'm still a sinner and I mess up. Every single day I mess up. But my mother done something to me when she put scripture in me, and me seeing her pray and seeing how the faith that she had, it done something to me. It changed me. And the point of this message tonight is just saying that, you know what? From the outward appearance, there are so many other people that you can look to in this church and be like, man, they done something great. They done something great. And they have. But there are some women that did some great things in my life. Some great things. I'm looking out at this crowd thinking, man, I shouldn't even be preaching this message looking at these women. There are some women that done some great, that changed my life. I can remember being over on up there where the Stories live, and Miss Story coming out on the porch and seeing me and Jobin and Jonathan out there across the road. There's a little stump right across the road, and we used to sit up there, and then we had a church out there, and one of us would preach on the stump, and the other two would sit on the road and watch us and amen us while we preached. And then I would preach, and Jobin would preach, and then Jonathan would get up there and preach, and Miss Dana would, you know, sit out there on the porch and watch us and just smile at us and take pictures. That was a blessing. That was a blessing seeing her out there, and she didn't, you know, get out of the road, you know. She didn't go out there, get on to us. Don't let your kids play in the road, okay? I'm not saying that. But that's just a blessing to see. It's a blessing. And I love her for that. I love all these women in this church, but you know what? They made a difference. There is something going on there. I remember coming back to this church, And it's a blessing just being back here, man. I was over there, and I'm not going to get into, you know, anything, especially because it's online. But the church that I had over there, it was that they done the best they could. It was a blessing. I know the chaplains over there, they can't, you know, say anything. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like this church. It's nothing like this church. And you walk into this church, and people are singing and praising God. And I come back, and there's stuff going on, and the young men in this church, and I put myself in there. I'm with them. But the young men in this church are fired up right now to serve God. They're out on the streets preaching, and they're over in Jamestown. They're in Anderson County, and they're sitting down here once a week praying for an hour, and they're coming to a Romans class. They started a new class on 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're fired up to serve God right now. And most of those guys, you know what? They had some godly moms. They had some godly moms. And the reason they know Scripture to be able to preach on the street is because their mom taught it to them. Young ladies in here today, you got an opportunity. You might not be able to preach, but you know what? You have a son that might be called to preach one day. You have a son that might be called. You have a son that might be called to the mission field one day. You have a son that could drive a bus one day or run the radio one day. And they need a mom that has an unfeigned faith like Lois and Eunice. They need to have a mom that just, or a grandma that just is doing what she can do. They need to have a grandma or a mother that just sits down every single day for her kids and prays. And that's it. If that's all you can do, she hath done what she could. If you don't know anything, but the only thing you know how to do is praise God and pray for your kids, just do that. I can remember growing up and going down to Pensacola, Florida, going to the Walmart down the street or wherever the store was called that we went to, grocery shop. My mom would be handing out gospel tracts. When we come back, live in Scott County, same thing, see her handing out gospel tracts, witnessing the people. Has your kids ever seen you witness? Have they ever seen you hand out a gospel tract to another lady and say, "Are you saved?" Or you don't even have to say that. Maybe you're too bashful. Just hand them a gospel tract. Have they ever seen you pray? Have they ever seen you read your Bible? I can remember more times of my mom reading the Bible than I could of her not reading the Bible. More days. And she put it in us. And if there's anything good in me or any of us kids, it's a testament to her. And a lot of you young people my age, you have the exact same testimony. With moms out there that taught you the Bible and that put it in you every single day. And if there's any good in you, it's a testament to her. And you know, I have that desire as a mom and as a grandma to do that. To put the Word of God in your kids. It'll be a blessing to them. It'll change them. The Word of God changes you. It says to lift it up. All you got to do is lift it up. Do you know it? Do you know your Bible? Young boys and young girls out there that are being raised by us, you know, they're the next generation. They are. And they need it, just like we need it. They need the Word of God. And honestly, this message isn't a message to just sit up here and rag on the women and say, you should do this. But it's an encouragement. Look around. If you're not doing something, look around at other women that are doing something. You know, there's ladies in this church that still have talk on the phone with each other and pray with each other over the phone. You can get involved with that. You know, you think about Miss Katie back here every single week coming over here doing the little pamphlets for the church, working wall builders. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. You can get involved somewhere. If you want to get involved, you can get involved somewhere. You can. And if you don't know what to do, just do what you can. If the only thing that you know how to do is pray for your preacher, make a commitment in your heart that every single day I'm going to get on my knees and pray for Brother Dilbert. And pray for him every single day. And if that's all you know how to do, just do that. I'm not saying you got to go to the mission field or you know, look for a young ladies, look for a preacher, and I got to marry a preacher. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is do what you can. And that's what this lady done in Luke chapter 14. You know what she done? All she had was an alabaster box, and she just done what she could. The last thing I'm going to show you is over here in Proverbs chapter 31, if you want to turn there. says in verse 1, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. And it talks about not drinking down there. And then down in verse 9, it talks about open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Verse 10, that's talking about teaching him from right from wrong. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Right there, it's talking about this mother teaching his son what kind of wife he needs to have. What kind of wife he needs to have. You know, it says in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, we got a big problem with trust today in America. I was over there and for 10 months, and you wouldn't believe the amount of people that got divorced just over there. Couldn't be trusted. Wife couldn't be trusted alone. I'm thankful that I have a wife that I could trust back here. What a blessing. You know, that's a testament to her mother, teaching her. And the testament to God, a testament to my wife. And I'm, you know, trusting her to be back here it says right here, I'm trying not to get, you know, vulgar, but trusting her to raise my son, for one. 10 months without him, I mean, that's a big trust to put on someone, isn't it? And it says in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. There's guys over there that went through divorce. I'm telling you, I didn't get the opportunity to lead anybody to the Lord over there. There was a lot of people that I got to witness to. But the reason I felt that, you know, well, not the reason I was over there, but I was looking for something to do for the Lord, obviously, over there. And in my mind, the first thing it goes to is preaching. So I was looking for somewhere to preach. You can't preach as a, you know, E4 when you have captains and majors as chaplains. So you got to listen. Even if they don't know the Bible, you got to listen. You got to listen. There's one guy sitting down there, and we're having a Bible study. He's a major. He's a captain, actually. He's a captain. And he said he was teaching us the Bible with his new version. And one of the guys asked him, he said, what kind of Bible should I get? You know, I'm just trying to get in church. And he said, you know, all the Bibles are good, you know. You know, you need to get one that's probably easy to read if you're just starting out. And I said, brother, just get you a King James Bible, man. And I said, and he said, what's the difference? I said, well, I'll tell you the difference. I said, you know, and I showed him a couple verses about how they, you know, took the Word of God, took verses out completely. And I said, but, you know, basically what happened was you have two lines of manuscripts. And you have the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. And this captain looked at me like I was crazy. And I just went through the entire thing, and I was like, and that's why this line's wicked, and the King James, the pure line, is the right one. And he looked at me like, ah, let's just talk about something else. And but it was good. But where I was getting to was, I felt like where the Lord really used me at was people that had marital problems. And I've been married for only, you know, 5 years, but that's where I was at. That's what the Lord gave me to do while I was over there. Marriage counseling. Rough. But I mean, you got guys over there that can't trust in their wives. You got women over there that can't trust their husbands back here. And, you know, it's a good thing as a woman when your husband can trust in you. And that's what his mother's saying right here, is that you need to find a wife that you can trust in. And she talks about having the wife he needs to get, and talks about right from wrong. And then that's when you go into the virtuous woman. And if you need a chapter in the Bible, women, that you need to live by or want to study Proverbs chapter 31. And that tells you exactly how you're supposed to act as a woman. And it's a good chapter. And if you know, try to figure out what not to act like, look at Proverbs chapter 7. So there you go. Easy as that. But the point of this message, guys, was just to encourage you to do what you can. Not guys, really gals. To do what you can. I'm not trying to browbeat you. like I said, you've got some good women in here. But just do what you can. Do what you can for your kids. Because they're going to grow up, and what you do for them every day will make a difference in their life. I promise you it will. I promise you it will. It'll make a difference. Even if they're grown and they got kids of their own, it's still going to make a difference in their life. Men in here, you got a good mom. You thankful for her? When's the last time you told her? When's the last time you thanked God that you was given a mom that took you to church? And the only reason you're sitting in a pew today is because your mom took you to church. It's the only reason. When's the last time you went and hugged her around the neck and said, I love you, Mom. Thank you for taking me to church, for teaching me the Bible. Thank you for being such a good mom. When's the last time you told her that? Maybe you need to be thankful. I don't know what the Lord is doing tonight with this message. I don't know how He's going to help you or work on you with this message. I really don't. I had another message in mind I was wanting to preach. This is not on the top of my list of messages to preach. It's not. But I didn't stray away from the Bible tonight. This is all Bible. This is all Bible. I'm not trying to browbeat you, but I'm just trying to give you some encouragement to live clean, live right, get in the book. But most importantly, just do what you can. And if that's getting on an altar and just praising God every service, get on an altar and praise God every service. That's it. You know what God wants you to do? Just what you can. You know, we think about missionaries and pastors and preachers and almost put them at a higher regard. And we was listening to a message the other day about the woman with the two mites. And she gave more than anyone. Why? Because she just gave what she could. She done what she could. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Are we doing a prayer? Yeah, come on. I'll go ahead and close in prayer, then Dad can do what he wants to do. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day, God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach once again, Lord.